but you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift, the baffled king composer, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair, she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew. This floor, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah.
Rhoda, you done stirred up my Pentecostal that wants to say hallelujah. Sing it, Rhoda. Give it up for Rhoda and this amazing band. Wow. Wow. I'm going going to ask you to stand again. And you live streamers at home, you can stand up in your PJs or whatever you're doing and just turn and wave at someone. It's good to connect, you know? We need to connect with one another, and we are wired to connect. So just take a moment and say, hi, hallelujah. And you may be seated. Thank you for being here. The poet David White said, disappointment is a friend to transformation. I was thinking about that quote this week. Disappointment is a friend to transformation. Because probably like many of you, if you've been on the news this week or on social media, it's been a little bit much. You know, there's a lot of pain in our world right now. Like I said, if you just think about it, it's a gorgeous day outside here. Just let your mind travel to Louisiana. It's not a gorgeous day right now. If you let your mind travel to Afghanistan, it is not a pretty place. If you let your mind travel to Haiti or even to some of our local places that were flooded where people have lost everything. You know, in our life, there are people at all times in different seasons and different places of going through it. And so let's just take a minute and say, thank God for dry land. Thank God for sunshine. Thank God for the resources. And thank God that we can give thanks in the midst. We don't give thanks for all things. The scriptures don't say in all give thanks for all things. It says in the midst of all things we can give thanks. Why? Because no matter what is happening, there is a power and there is a potential that is greater than anything before us. It doesn't mean that what is before us won't sometimes be challenging. It doesn't mean that life is not inherent within it, there's heartache, there's brokenness, there's disappointment. There's times when we feel like we have come all apart. You know, the scriptures say that Jesus came apart. Jesus would go apart. It dawned on me one day that he went apart and got rooted and grounded and connected again, because if not, he had to come apart. Anybody else besides me have come apart from time to time? When you need to, okay, let me just come apart for a while and remember. Well, this is week two of a two-part exploration on potential. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that you have potential. I said, remember your potential, and remember your as in Y-O-U apostrophe R-E potential. Remember your potential, and remember you are potential. And today, we want to dig into that even a little bit deeper and what I'm calling the power of possibility. That, you know, before a great birth, my youngest brother is, they're getting ready to have a baby any day, supposed to be born August 30th. So I'm waiting for my new little niece, Aurora, to make her roaring grand entrance. And any of you that have ever experienced childbirth, let's just say it's messy. That when creation is bringing forth something new and beautiful and meant to be, that sometimes it's messy and painful. But the beauty of it is that you learn how to ride with that. You learn how to understand that there's a bigger something playing out. And you learn how to harness that energy and work with it to bring forth something new. How many of you can literally feel that in our world right now? You can literally feel the messiness of an emergence of something new. How many of you can be honest and say you feel that in your own self, that there's some messiness and all of that, but you know that it's an emergence of something new. It's this beautiful energy of creation. 2 weeks ago when I talked about this, I shared with you something that I recently learned that to me is fascinating, that inside the Arctic Circle, deep inside a mountain, is a huge vault built right into that mountain. It is the global seed vault. I didn't even know it existed. But inside the Arctic Circle is a huge seed vault that has the capacity to hold 4.5 million different species of plants, not just the little seedlings, but the seeds and some of the growth of that plant, 4.5 million. As of today, this very moment, almost every country in the world has seeds, has their essential seeds in that vault. There's 1.5 million. And as of today, only one country has ever asked for a withdrawal, the country of Syria. Because when Syria was going through its civil war, it was so devastated that it needed some potential. It needed some seeds to begin that again. And I began to think about that immense, just that incredible amount of potential. I mean, could you just imagine standing outside that huge vault and really thinking about all the potential that's inside? Well, consider this. Look at any one of you and just think about all the potential that is inside. That each and every one of us are a storehouse of potentiality, what we call divine potential. But that potential unfolds sequentially, if you will. Life can only build upon what we give it to work with. Just like my little niece-to-be, she won't come out and just jump right out on the table and say, "Woohoo! I'm here, let's go get something done." She's going to develop sequentially. It's like the story of there was a woman who was walking beside her little boy, and the little boy was proudly pushing the baby stroller. He had a little baby sister that was smaller than him, and he was the big brother pushing this baby stroller down the street, walking beside mom. And a couple was coming toward them, and they stopped, and they're just admiring the little boy. And then they looked at the little girl in the stroller, and they looked at the little boy and said, "Can your little sister talk yet? Is she talking?" And the little boy said, "She has two teeth, but her words have not come in yet." From the mouth of babes, that, you know, all of our capabilities don't come in at the same time. That this builds upon this, builds upon this, builds upon this. And so today we want to look at what can we do to create the conditions within ourselves for our own potential, for our own innate potential to unfold. Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, she and her husband Charles Fillmore, she had a dramatic healing. She was healed of tuberculosis after being at the end stages of her life. This was in the late 1800s. And she would later in her life write, "As lives the flower in the seed, so lives the Christ in me." She had touched a potentiality within her that was bigger than the physicality of her. As lives the flower in the seed, so lives the Christ in me. As lives the potential of a flower in a seed, as lives the potential of a mighty oak in an acorn, so lives the image and the likeness of God within each and every one of us. And it's interesting because we are both a closed system and an open system. You're an individual closed system, a finite system, a being. But you are also an open system of infinite being. And our capacity to become, becoming is synonymous with living, that we are always becoming. And so the good news is, if you're sitting here today, if you're hearing this today, you don't have to wonder, maybe I've done this, I've done that. I don't know, I think I'm about over all of my becoming. No. If you still have skin on, there is something more for you to manifest, to bring forth. It doesn't mean you're not complete. We're all complete in spirit, but we're not finished. I had an encounter one day. I was in a nail salon. This was pre-COVID. I was having my nails done. And the person was talking to me, and I noticed I asked where she was from, and she said she was from Vietnam. And I said, "Well, you have really good English. How long have you been here?" She said, "Just a year and a half." I said, "Your English is remarkable for a year and a half." And she said, "I learned on YouTube." She said, "But let me ask you a question. What's the difference in the word complete and finished?" And I thought about them. I thought, well, English is a tricky language. They're pretty much the same, complete and finished. She said, "Well, what about this? You marry a good one, you're complete. You marry a bad one, you're finished." I said, "Okay, there is a little bit of difference in those words." You see, we're all complete in spirit, but you're not finished like an oy vey, you're finished. But you're not finished in the realization. You're complete in that you are that perfect capable, you're that perfect idea in spirit. That's the picture on the puzzle of the box, but you're all the pieces coming together to express it. Does that make sense? That this life is about the realization of all that you can be, and that we're here, we bring to life all that life is. That's what each and every one of us are here to do. And so this potential, it's there. It's naturally there, but it also must be developed. It requires activating and cultivating and nurturing. And so in order to create the space to do that, we create a space of possibility within us. Jesus used the parable about seeds, how some seeds would be choked away and some seeds would be taken away by the birds and some would dry up and wither. That he was saying that there's conditions that have to be maintained for the potential to take root and develop. And so today we want to look at what it means to really understand the space of possibility. And the word is right there, it's space. That in the space of possibility, what does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be open and expansive? And what does it mean to be grateful? And how do all those relate to us bringing forth the potential, the states of being, the whatever it is in your life that is seeking to emerge through you? So the space of possibility, the first thing is to be present. To be still and know, as the scriptures say. When we talk about being present, it helps to begin with understanding that if you have cultivated the capacity to be aware of where your awareness is, if you've cultivated the capacity to notice what you're noticing, do you know what I'm saying here? If you have cultivated the capacity to stop, and to notice what you're noticing, that's a huge step. Because a lot of us, and a lot of the time, we just run on autopilot. We're just, the reading that Terry selected was beautiful. You know, we're caught up and carried away. We're not being present. I cultivated a practice long ago that I still do, and it's kind of interesting. My little puppy, Ari, helps me with this now, I've noticed, is that doors, to me, a doorway represents a threshold. And so every time I walk through a door, wherever I am, I've done it so much now, it's just natural. When I walk through a door, I take a breath, and to myself I say, where am I? And so often when I walk through the door, I'm like way off over here. I'm not even in my body. It's been a great practice to say, where am I? It's also interesting for me that my little dog, Ari, because she likes to follow me everywhere. Anybody with a puppy, just say amen. They like to follow you everywhere, so she lays in the doorway. So even if she happens to fall asleep, you know, you have to step over them. And I don't know if it's the creaks of my knees or what it is, but when I start to step over her, she's up and she's wide awake. They're like, okay, mama's leaving. Where am I going now? She reminds me, it's another alert that when I walk through a doorway, would you be willing to cultivate that? As a simple way to help you say, where am I now? There's a beautiful story that I read this week by Janice Hulbert. She said, my Sheltie Finn has won 6 first prize ribbons in obedience. Finn is a smart, lovely Sheltie, a beautiful dog. But when we go to the off-leash dog park, it's a whole different story. If I'm not paying attention, Finn will spot another dog all the way across the park and just take off after it. No amount of calling, no matter how many ribbons he's won, no matter how obedient he is at that off-leash dog park, if he spots something and he takes off, no amount of calling will make him stop. And she said, it concerns me because I live in an area where we have coyotes and you just never know. She said, but what I have found is this. If I pay attention to him and he's off-leash, if I can catch him that split second between when his ears go up and he starts his dash, if I can catch him in that split second and say, Finn, stay, he'll stay and he'll just automatically start enjoying the smells and whatever is around him. Janice said, this week I noticed the same thing happens to me. If I'm paying attention, I can notice and say, Janice, stay. That is a trigger. That is something you don't need to chase after. You're just about to lose your stuff and go after that. Janice, stay. But she said, if I can learn to say, stay here, be here, And she said, when I do it, I bring the image of Finn. She said, because even those times he does dash off, he's such a beautiful dog, and I know he's having fun. She said, if I catch myself already running ahead, and I can say, Janice, stay. It's not in a harsh tone, but it's in that reminder of we're so prone to leave and just to jump out at this and jump out at that. But to just, and I love her practice. I've started using that one too. Darlene, stay. Now, it's not always good to say it out loud because the person that your trigger may hear you, but you just take a deep breath. Darlene, stay. that you stay. And so why is it important to cultivate the capacity to be present? I mean, it's wise. We need to be able to reflect. You need to be able to look back and notice where you made mistakes and learn from your mistakes so you can correct. We need to be wise, as nature teaches us, and to plan ahead. You need to. The people in Louisiana have been planning ahead. That is wisdom. But the difference is, how much time are we spending back here and up there versus right here? Because the point of all power is in the present moment. The point of all action is in the present moment. And that it is only in the present moment that presence opens us to presence, to possibility. I don't know about you, but I find for me that my most creative times are early in the morning when it's quiet. It's like before the world started buzzing and before I even looked at any phone or anything. In the morning, it's easier for me to be present. And when I'm in the shower, anybody else have that? I think it's like that small space. Some people say it's the water. But it's what I find is sometimes my brightest and most creative and most innovative ideas come in those places that I'm being fully present. Now, it sounds like a simple thing. What I want us to consider and to reclaim is that it is the most sacred thing, is to value the gift of the present. That in the present, there have been times in my life when I did not know how to respond to a person. There have been times I've been sitting in an interview, and have you ever tried to prepare interview or all those things, and you just try to cram all that information in, and you're so focused on trying to access the right information that you really miss the experience. But if you can plan, and you do reflect, and you do your best, and then in that moment, be still and know and be present, what I have found is there's a higher level of communication, there's a higher level of information, that there's a higher dimension of possibility that's available. Would you be willing to increase your relationship with being present? It's the greatest gift you can give to yourself, to be in your body, to be comfortable in your own skin, to be here now. And so in that space of possibility is we cultivate our capacity to be present. And then the second one is we cultivate our capacity to be open and expansive. Now, we can be present, but already made up our mind. We can be present and then immediately be gone like Finn or off defending. To be present and to be open and expansive. You see, you cannot will transformation. You can't. You just can't will it. Just like you can't just take a seed. When I was in school, grade school years ago, we watched, remember when they got out those films and you watched, it was a film day and you were so happy. Well, we saw a film about how chickens would sit on their eggs and that they would become little bitties. And I was so fascinated that I went home, I went straight to the refrigerator, I got out an egg and I started carrying it around. And when my mom saw me, she's like, what do you have in your hands? I have an egg. She said, where'd you get a boiled egg? Oh, it's not boiled. It's one out of the refrigerator because I'm going to get it warm enough, long enough to hatch it. So my mother explained to me why that was not possible. But, you know, mom's not as smart as what I saw. And then dad explained. And then they said, you're going to drop that egg and make a mess. No, I'm not. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to keep it warm. And you will see. You will see. Well, you know what happened. Of course, I dropped the egg on the living room carpet. And I saw. I've never forgot that because it's a story of potential. You see, we can't will it to happen. I could not just hold that egg. You cannot put a pumpkin seed up here and let's just wait. Will is not enough when it comes to potential. We have to be willing. And willing involves the conditions. Being open and expansive involves the conditions. It helps create the conditions of how are we going to be open to higher ideas, to higher ways of being. The reason we're present is we begin to notice what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're thinking. We begin to notice the currents that we're caught up with. We get caught up and carried away, and we confuse ourselves with the experience. We confuse ourselves with the story. We confuse ourselves with what's happening. All of those things may be happening, but we are so much more than them. And so to be present and then to be open and expansive begins to create some more space. Space for me to release myself from the entanglement of the ego, the tiny mad ego, as A Course in Miracles says. It allows me to create some space. And in that space to create an openness, the psalmist David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit." In today's language, that would be saying, create a blank slate in me, create an openness, and renew my spirit to be in such a way that I am open and ripe. Ripe means ready to the moment, that I am ripe to grow into all that I'm created to be present, to be open, and to be expansive. Someone said recently, and it was so profound to me, I wrote this down. They said, your coping mechanisms as a child become your patterns as an adult. That the way each of us, the way we learn to navigate the world as children become our patterns as an adult. They kind of become our ruts. And if you've ever been to Alaska, I was on an Alaskan cruise, and at one of the places I got off and went out biking. My prayer partner, Kristen Powell, and I did this together, and we came across this sign that was remarkable. And the sign said, choose your rut carefully. And what I learned that in Alaska, when the soil gets soft enough and things go through, they create really deep ruts. And it said, choose your rut carefully. It's like the next rut was 142 miles or something. And I think about in life how often we fight over our ruts and we choose our ruts carefully. What I've also come to really understand, and I truly believe this is what's happening in our world, what's happening in your life, in our lives, is this. That we have a misconception around this. That our way of doing things, our patterns, our ways of showing up in the world is like one path, one rut, one way of being. And so much of the time, we try to bring our spiritual practices, we try to bring all of those things to this one rut, and by God, let me get it straightened out, and let me get this rut cleared up. Let me heal this rut, even though it was a horrible whatever happened, let me heal this and get it cleaned up. What I truly believe is happening is that this is what it is. This is the experience. This is the former way that we did things. This is the path that I have worn out. But let me tell you this. Spirit can create a four-lane highway where you have a single rut. That if we will, when we become open and willing, that's the difference. That is the absolute difference. That the way that we saw it, the way that we thought it could only be this way, if we become open and expansive, what begins to happen is we realize, you know, now I can walk alongside this, but I'm not in that anymore. There's so much more available to me here that I can even imagine. How many of you can feel that, to just know that you keep going down the same lane, but your way of being in relationship really wants to create an even wider lane for you? We're called to be present. We're called to be open and expansive. Thich Nhat Hanh shares this story. He said, when I lost my mother, I suffered a lot. Now, if you don't know Thich Nhat Hanh, he's a great Buddhist teacher, mindfulness teacher. He's done a lot in his life to recognize the ruts and to create an opening. And so we're talking about an individual that has deep practice in this. He said, when I lost my mother, I suffered a lot. The day she died, I wrote in my journal, the greatest misfortune of life has happened. I grieve her death more than a year. Then one night, I was sleeping in my hermitage. In the midst of all that grief, I had cried out and kept praying, I need help. I need healing. I cannot get beyond the place that I'm stuck. And he said, that night I had a dream about my mother. I saw myself sitting with her, and we were having a wonderful talk, and she looked young and beautiful. Her hair was flowing. It was so pleasant to sit and talk with her as if she'd never died. When I woke, a very strong feeling lingered with me. Like my mother, I could feel her love. Even though she wasn't there physically, there was a palpable feeling. I felt her presence. It was very clear in that moment. I hadn't lost my mother. I had lost my previous way of being in relationship with my mother. And once I learned to let go, I opened the door and went outside. The moonlight seemed to bathe the hills. I looked down at my hands and my feet, and for the first time I said, my mother is with me. I looked at my body and said, my mother is with me. He said, something shifted inside of me that night. I know that we all live in an idea that is smaller than who we really are. We live in an idea that is smaller than who we are. And that no matter what we're facing, if we'll take ourselves to the edge of our own becoming and let life build upon it, make a certain amount of peace with it the best you can. He said something shifted for him, that way that he was stuck opened up. It didn't exactly go away, but it gave something else that added to his life. Can you see that? How more potential revealed itself to him. Richard, would you give us that song? We're talking about intentionally cultivating presence, being present. Intentionally cultivating openness and the willingness to expand, the understanding that life is expanding us. And the third part of that, and perhaps the practice that helps us keep it anchored, is to strengthen our capacity to be grateful. You know, that word full, to be grateful. All the sacred texts talk about the power of gratitude. It's not just an attitude of gratitude. There's what gratitude really does is gratitude says, I'm in relationship with this, with whatever it is. I'm in relationship with this in such a way that I choose to find the gift. I choose to find whatever it is in me that can be blessed and can grow, can be humbled, can be grown in compassion, can be strengthened. I choose to find that within me. You see, when you're in relationship with it that way, you just gave the universe something to build upon. Life only builds upon life. It can only work with what we give it to work with. This week, I had an interesting story and a point for gratitude of all things involving a septic tank. 2 weeks ago, out of the blue, this idea just popped in my head. When was your septic tank pumped out? Now, let's just pause a minute. Has anybody had that? You know, that just, it's not something, especially me this late. I don't think about that very often. Let's just admit it. But it came into my mind, when was the last time your septic tank was pumped? And I thought, you know, we bought this house 5 years ago. I don't know when. And so I went online and I looked, you know, what is the cost? And I sent a request to a company to give me an estimate, see if they'd come out. Well, I never heard back from them. I know a lot of people are busy, but I never heard back and it just slipped out of my mind. So this week again, on Monday, it popped in my mind. I wonder when that septic tank was pumped. And I mentioned it to T and she said, you know what? That same question entered into my mind. So we said, you know, there's a place here in Mills River. Let's just give them a call and just ask, you know, what does it cost? What is it involved? I don't know. So we called and they said, well, we're way booked up. And then they said, wait a minute. We had an opening for tomorrow that just canceled. Can you take that? And I'm like, yeah, I think I probably should. So they came out the very next day. Two guys come out and I watch them dig it up and they take the lid off. And the man said, was this backing up into your tub or something? I said, no, why? He said, this hadn't backed up yet. I said, no. He said, well, you were just spared because you were right on the brink of having a mess. Now, I said, thank you, God. Thank you, universe. Now, I'll share with you a simple story just to point this out. That what I have come to discover, to me, that's not unusual. Because there is an infinite intelligence, there is a power and a potentiality, there is so much more to me and to you. There's so much more to awareness that when we begin to give thanks, and I spent the better part of that day giving thanks, I said, thank you for communicating with me, universe, in a way that I got it. Thank you for lining up the things. Thank you for the resources to take care of this. Thank you for the workers who are willing to just do this. Thank you for this intelligence. We don't have an outhouse anymore. Thank you, God. You know, I just went on and on and on and just let it get in my bones because I really wanted the universe. I wanted to know that I got this and I'm so appreciative and I want you to build on this. I am making myself available. I am saying, I got it. I noticed. I paid attention. I am deeply grateful. Let's do some more of this. Not with septic tanks, but let's do some more good stuff, some fun stuff. You know what I'm saying? Final story, Henry Nguyen. Henry Nguyen says, gratitude is a discipline. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. Henry said, when I was studying Spanish in Bolivia, I met Lucia. Lucia was a maid working in the institute where I was attending school, a seminary, and even though we didn't talk about God or religion, her smile, her kindness, her way of kindly correcting my Spanish, her stories about her children were just so spiritual. He said, I was honestly jealous of her. I kept thinking, I wish I had the purity of heart of this woman. I wish I could be as open and gentle. I wish I could be as in touch as she seems to be. I wish I could be. And he said, one day I read the scripture from Matthew 13:12 that says, for the one who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance, and she will have an abundance. But to the one that has not, even what she has, even what he has will be taken away. Henry said, I got it. I wasn't even seeing the gift that I was getting because I was so jealous. I was so frustrated. I was so stuck in comparing. In that instant, I decided every time I was in the presence of her, I would let it touch me. I would let her gifts touch me, and I would say, thank you. He said, over a period of time, she lit up, I lit up. And what he discovered is that by thanking her for the gift, that what he did have right there before his eyes would begin to multiply and increase because the universe can only work with what we have, not what we have not. That is the key, one of the keys to being a presence that is willing to open to the potentiality that we are, to be present, to be open and expansive, and to be grateful. So how in your life are you being called to be more present? How are you being called to bring awareness to your awareness? How are you being called to notice what you notice? How are you being called to be open and not reactive? How are you called to be open and to trust that life is wanting to expand your pathways of being? How are you being called into a greater fullness of your blessings, grateful? Because I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light that I am. We are opening.
opening to be the way. We are opening. We are opening. We are the way.
We turn our awareness within. As lives the flower in the seed, so lives the Christ in me. As lives the flower in the seed, so lives the pattern, the idea, the potentiality that is the image and the likeness of God. And yes, I am an individual, a closed system, it would seem, from the level of eyes, from physical observation. Oh, but I am so much more behind the eyes, for I am also an open system, a spirit. I am life being expressed. And life is the place of becoming. Life is the place of experience. Life is the place where we move from an idea in concept to a manifestation in reality. And so I open to the infinity of all that is. And I realize that what seems to be in the way is the way. That whatever is right here is the portal, is the threshold, is the point of contact that can move me, as Jesus was often moved with compassion. When things touched him, he allowed them to move him in the direction of love. May I be moved after my ranting and my raving and my shock or my whatever. May I always commit to land in that place of may I be moved and expanded in love and in light. May I be moved in my capacity to manifest goodness, to live it out loud. May I be moved in the direction of my spirit's potential. For I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the one. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light that I am. As I open and I surrender, it is not a surrendering of a giving up. Oh, no. It is a surrendering of opening up. It is a surrendering that acknowledges the truth that I may be at the edge of my resourcefulness. I may be at the edge of my know-how. I may be at the edge of my wits or my wisdom or whatever. But I stand at the edge with an open heart and a willingness that says, universe, recycle all that has come before and grow me into the next expression of all that I'm created to be. That is the surrender that my soul sings.
And we are opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous, to the love light, to the one. We are opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous, to the love light, to I am. We are opening company, show us the way. Cause we are opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. Opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. We are opening, we are opening, we are the way, we are opening, we are opening, we are the way. I am opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I'm opening up in sweet surrender to the luminous love light of the One. I am
is showing up in you right here and right now.